What's up, sir? This dude told me I should get vocal lessons, so I went down to Malibu and I got my voice fixed. And as it turns out, all that hippy-dippy bullshit that I was rambling about in every other podcast and every conversation I've had for the last 15 years was the result of a type of parasite that got stuck on my vocal cords, and it was making me talk like a bitch about bitch. No more of that Mayan calendar Buddhist bullshit. We're gonna talk real talk about what matters, and what matters is making that grain and the bitch, yo. That's what this is all about.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Injection, fellas.
My money's been acting funny lately. And I don't mean ha-ha funny. No, I'm talking strange, weird, different type funny. This time, money's going all out. Leaving me, showing up, then leaving as quickly as she came. Ignoring me, treat me like a poor man. What'd I do, boo? All I ever did was love you. Maybe too much, because now it's like we ain't cool no more. We used to be road dogs, inseparable. But lately my money's been acting funny and I haven't seen money in months. I got more than a hunch she's playing me, trying to make me jealous, hanging out with other fellas, always in some other brother's pocket. I try and tell her, man, those other guys are just using her. They just using you, money. She don't want to hear me. She don't even turn my phone calls. She don't stop by the crib like she used to. She won't go to movies with me. She won't even go get nothing to eat. And you know a brother can't eat without money. Don't you know I miss you? I want you. Okay, I need you to survive. My life revolves around you. I can't replace your money. Believe me, I've tried. There's only so much bread and water I can take. Call me spoiled, but I remember the days when people used to see us at the hottest clubs, the expensive restaurants, all the high-priced stores. I made sure I looked good with money. I treated you right. I never abused you. Did I? Did I abuse you, money? Did I get used to you hanging around and now you giving me a taste of what it feels like to live without you? People still think we're tight. I mean, they still ask about you. I don't like them all in my business, so I just reply, you know, money and I aren't as close as we used to be. My money's been acting funny lately. I can't even call out a name when I'm shooting ball. Oh, I saw her the other day in Beverly Hills. She didn't even acknowledge me. She looked at me like, how you get in Beverly Hills? Like, I don't belong. Ever since money hasn't been around, I feel like I'm losing my other friends too. American Express, Visa, Discover. Now they starting to act shady. I think she's spreading lies on me. I tell you, I don't know what I did, but my money's been acting real funny lately. And I don't know her anymore. And my life ain't the same. Never will be the same until money comes back into my life. So if you see her, or any of her cousins, because she got a whole bunch of family running around, let her know that I miss her. That I love her, and I wanted to come home.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
Everybody be cool, this is a robbery!
In France, inside a vault, inside a triple bell jar, sits a metal cylinder. It weighs about a kilogram. Actually, it weighs exactly a kilogram, because this is the kilogram.
It's made of platinum and iridium, and every kilogram in the world is based on this cylinder. The kilogram is well guarded. Opening the vault requires three keys. And there's a reason why there's all this security. If you mess with this kilogram, you are messing with the entire world.
Because imagine that somehow someone got into the vault and for years has been shaving a little bit off of the kilogram, or maybe adding a little bit. Everything could be slightly off. That kilogram of coffee I just bought, maybe I was getting shortchanged.
Yeah, and all those people in all those Weight Watchers groups who thought they were losing weight, still fat.
Still fat.
If the kilogram's wrong, you have no idea what's real anymore.
Something very much like this is happening in the financial world. A benchmark number that's supposed to be trustworthy, that's referenced in trillions of dollars of loans and mortgages and financial instruments, that number, it's been manipulated.
At least one bank has admitted that they were trying to make money by shaving little bits off of this number or adding little bits to it. And now everyone is asking, what is real? David, when I moved to New York, I could barely afford my apartment. And so the mortgage I got was an adjustable rate mortgage, right? Everyone was getting these back in the day. And at some point right before I signed the documents, I went, well, wait a minute. When my rate adjusts, how do I know how much I'll be paying?
What's the interest rate? Yeah.
And I searched through that big document they give you, and it was right there, a word I hadn't really ever seen before, LIBOR. My rate was a few percentage points above whatever the LIBOR is. And in fact, I asked my mortgage broker, and they're like, oh, no, it's published every day in the Wall Street Journal. I'm like, okay, the LIBOR. There's some number in London that determines how much I pay every single month.
Not just you, it's everywhere.
Well, LIBOR is absolutely critical because although most Americans have never heard of it before, the reality is that it's a bedrock of the financial system. I mean, the majority of American mortgages, of American commercial loans, are in some way pegged to LIBOR. And so the fact that LIBOR has been rigged is something that really cuts into the heart of modern finance and what it's all about.
This is Gillian Tett. She's an editor at the Financial Times. And for years, she has been warning that there's something fishy going on with this rate, LIBOR.
And now that I cover economics, I do know what LIBOR is. It's a global interest rate. It's calculated every day, and it's supposed to tell you how much interest that banks have to pay when they borrow from each other. You want to know this because, of course, then the banks go and lend to the rest of us, and their rate affects our rate.
So you can imagine how this affects everything. Like if the grocery store on my corner takes out a loan, and the interest rate on that loan has been subtly manipulated, if it's tied to LIBOR and LIBOR is flawed, that means the corner store is paying too much or maybe paying too little on the mortgage, which means that could affect maybe the price they charge me for orange juice.
That's at the most simple level. But imagine the most complex financial instruments, these derivatives you hear stuff about that have documents that run to thousands of pages. These two are based on LIBOR. The LIBOR is in those documents.
In fact, I mean, wait for this number, $350 trillion worth. That's $350 trillion worth, if you can imagine all those zeros, of contracts in global markets have been struck with reference to LIBOR.
I mean, if they were able to adjust LIBOR by, say, a hundredth of a percent, you'd say, ah, that's so small, right? But if there are trillions of dollars worth of financial trades based on this, right, then you're into, you know, even a small percentage of that is hundreds of millions of dollars.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, even a tiny percentage of $350 trillion worth of derivatives contracts, a tiny proportion of that would be a very big number.
So LIBOR is so fundamental to the financial system. It's tied up in these trillions of dollars worth of contracts. You would think that if one number had this kind of power, that it would be calculated, I don't know, by supercomputers, that there would be guards standing by, that the central banks of the world would make sure that this number, of all the numbers in the world, that this number was unimpeachable, that everyone would agree on exactly what this number is. But it is not calculated this way. It's basically the result of a survey. There's a banking trade group, British Bankers Association. They contact 18 banks.
18 banks.
Around London. And they simply ask each bank, hey, if you were to borrow money right now, what kind of interest rate would you get?
We're not oversimplifying here. I mean, I have the actual question that gets asked here. Here it is. At what rate could you borrow funds were you to do so by asking for them and then accepting interbank offers in a reasonable market size just prior to 11 a.m.? The banks don't have to show how they came up with the number. No regulator checks it. That's it. That's all there is to it.
And for years, no one really thought about how, I don't know, fundamentally strange it is that this really important number is figured out in this way. But during the financial crisis, LIBOR starts to look a little bit funny. Because as you remember, during the financial crisis, no one is lending to each other. And you would expect banks would demand a lot of interest from other banks. And you'd expect LIBOR to spike through the roof. it does go up, but not as much as everyone thought it would. And so the Wall Street Journal does an investigation and they find, you know, all these banks are reporting strangely similar, strangely low numbers. People start to think maybe the banks weren't telling the truth.
Maybe the banks weren't telling the truth.
And they're off. Yes, this is actually bulls deliberately being released into crowds of people. It takes place every year at the San Fermin Festival in the Spanish town of Pamplona. Now, the bull run only lasted 3 minutes and 32 seconds, but two Britons and an American were gored. Each year, 200 runners are injured, some even die.
Robbery. Watch as a man with a gun holds up a local medical marijuana dispensary while another man with a surprising weapon joins in.
Those two thieves busted into the dispensary in Shoreline.
That's Kyra 7's Graham Johnson is live in Shoreline with the frightening robbery and the surprising weapon the video reveals. Graham.
Angela, as we reviewed that surveillance video tonight of the robbery at this dispensary, we noticed how one of those robbers was armed with a gun, the other with a plunger handle. King County detectives released this video, hoping someone will recognize these two robbers. You can see them coming in past a dispensary employee. Then one walks back into frame with a gun. He locks the door and orders the two employees around. The second robber is carrying what looks like the handle to a toilet plunger.
That's what he was using as a weapon.
King County Sheriff Sergeant Cindy West tells us the robbers demanded money and marijuana from the store. The video shows them at the counter, digging through a tip jar and a trash can. The robbery happened around 8:30 p.m. Saturday at the Seashore Collective in Shoreline. Detectives hope releasing the video will lead them to these men. And if you can identify the robbers in that video, call the King County Sheriff's Office. We will let you know if we learn of an arrest.
Oh no, we can't say no. We can't say no. The only serious thing is it's a chronic, you say. We can't say no to the chronic. Oh no, we can't say no. We can't say no.
This next story happened last month, but it is just coming to light now. A pot shop raid in Long Beach. It was caught on camera, posted online, and it's now led to accusations of excessive force. NBC4's Michelle Valles is live in Long Beach, where we have now heard from both sides. Right, Michelle?
Hi, Robert. Indeed, you know, in June, Long Beach police raided this marijuana dispensary, and all 5 volunteer employees were arrested for operating without a permit at this marijuana dispensary. Those employees claim property damage, destruction of evidence, and accusations of excessive force were all caught on tape.
We got beat up and arrested for a citation that's equivalent to somebody jaywalking.
In June, more than a dozen Long Beach police officers raided the downtown THC Collective with a search warrant. The marijuana dispensary complies with state law, but they don't have a city permit.
I felt violated. I felt disrespected.
The raid happened hours before Long Beach city officials were going to consider a ban on pot shops. The video is now on YouTube, showing a Long Beach police officer walking on Dorian Brooks, stepping on his neck, and placing his full weight on him while arresting him.
So I just felt like 300 pounds on my neck.
In another room, an undercover officer shown here notices a surveillance camera and takes it out with a metal rod, destroying possible evidence. Officers were unaware this video feed was being recorded at an off-site location.
Try to get a clear answer to make sure the Drug Administration, Enforcement Administration, is aware of some of the evidence. Is crack worse for a person than marijuana?
I believe all illegal drugs are bad.
Is methamphetamine worse for somebody's health than marijuana?
I don't think any illegal drug
is good. Heroin worse for someone's health than marijuana?
Again, all drugs.
I mean, either yes, no, or I don't know. I mean, if you don't know, you can look this up. You should know this is the chief administrator for the Drug Enforcement Agency. I'm asking you a very straightforward question. Is heroin worse for someone's health than marijuana?
All illegal drugs are bad.
Does this mean you don't know?
Heroin causes an addiction.
Okay.
That causes many problems and is very hard to kick.
So does that mean that the health impact of heroin is worse than marijuana? Is that what you're telling me?
I think you're asking a subjective question.
No, it's objective. Just looking at the science, this is your area of expertise. I'm a layperson, but I've read some of the studies. I'm aware of it. I'm just asking you as an expert in the subject area, is heroin worse for someone's health than marijuana?
And I'm answering as a police officer and as a DEA agent that these drugs are illegal because they are dangerous, because they are addictive, because
okay.
they do hurt a person's health.
Forget about the other side. The grass is greener on this side. Forget about the other side. The grass is greener on this side. Forget about the other side. The grass is greener on this side. Forget about the other side. The grass is greener.
So heroin is more addictive than marijuana? Is heroin more addictive than marijuana in your experience?
I think generally, the properties of heroin, yes, it's more addictive.
Is methamphetamine more addictive than marijuana?
Well, both are addictive.
Well, is methamphetamine more highly addictive than marijuana?
I think some people become addicted to marijuana, and some people become addicted to methamphetamine.
You mentioned that the top your top priority, I believe you indicated to us, is abuse of prescription drugs. Is one of the main classifications of prescription drugs painkillers that you're concerned about?
That's correct.
And are those painkillers addictive?
Yes, they are. Very addictive.
Are those painkillers more addictive than marijuana?
All illegal drugs are in Schedule 1 are addictive.
Well, again, this is a health-based question, and I know you're obviously you have a law enforcement background, but I'm sure you're also familiar, given your position, with the science of the matter. And I'm asking, you know, again, clearly your agency has established abuse of prescription drugs as the top priority. Is that therefore an indication that prescription drugs are more addictive than marijuana?
All illegal drugs are addictive.
I'd want to leave your ass in a catatonic white state.
Okay, your agency has established abuse of prescription drugs as its top priority. You've indicated as much to us. Does that mean that abuse of prescription drugs is a greater threat to the public health than marijuana?
Because it's an emerging threat, because people are turning to prescription drugs then faster than any other drug, that is why we prioritize it.
Well, in many states, including my home state of Colorado, we have a legalized and regulated regime of medical marijuana, and we have found some great degree of success in combating the abuse of prescription drugs by making sure the patients have access to medical marijuana, which the science indicates, and I would certainly encourage you to look at the science, is less addictive and less harmful to human health than some of the narcotic prescription drugs that are abused, and also when they're used on label, they can be very harmful to health as well. Would your agency consider supporting medical marijuana provisions when that can be used in pursuit of your top priority, which is reducing abuse of prescription drugs, if it can be documented that the use of medical marijuana helps reduce the abuse of prescription drugs? Is that something you're willing to pursue?
Well, Congress has determined that marijuana is a controlled substance, and DEA is tasked with enforcing.
But surely if politicians used words like holla, swallow back, check this out, all my peeps in your cribs, all your mofos out there, swallow this, booyakasha wagwan, then people would hear it and understand, didn't it?
Mitt Romney's campaign took a big hit earlier this week after reports that he had slept with a prostitute. But those poll numbers are now soaring after the revelation that the prostitute paid Romney to sleep with her. Jasmine James, the prostitute in question, confirmed those rumors just earlier this afternoon.
He just has this sexy, sensual electricity that no woman can resist. He was very considerate of my needs. Very considerate.
Romney rose to prominence in the Republican Party largely due to his raw, palpable sexual charisma, which stirs longings in the loins of females everywhere. Earlier today on Washington This Afternoon, the Onion News Network's Jane Carmichael had a chance to sit down with Mr. Romney and speak to him directly.
Oh, well, Mr. Romney, I'm just really hot in this studio. What is wrong with me? Just listen to me. You are so...
If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Later on,
on in the hour, we'll be looking at Obama's campaign promise to put a stop to the constant anxiety of simply being alive. But right now, let's check in with Ron Paul, who arrived today at a rally in Akron, Ohio, in his trademark huffing, puffing, wheezy, whimsical, steam-powered jalopy. In a speech, Congressman Paul told the crowd that the U.S. government is a lot like his old jalopy, way too big, overly complex, wasteful, and Ron Paul is the only one who knows how to fix it. With analysis, we're joined by David Baradale.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi there, David. Ron Paul is polling in single digits, but judging from today's rally, the supporters he does have are very devoted to him.
That's right. You really see the passion he inspires when he rides up in that crazy jalopy and talks about withdrawing from the UN and then disappears in a big cloud of steam at the end of his speech.
And now experts say there is essentially zero chance Congressman Paul can win the presidency. So why do these voters keep supporting him, David?
Well, I think Ron Paul offers something other candidates don't, a sense of wonder, the chance to imagine what if we had multiple currencies? What if schools and hospitals were privatized? What if actually terrorists did not blow up the World Trade Center?
Well, they have fun with the magic of it all, right?
Exactly. They love using their imaginations to envision a president who doesn't talk to foreign leaders and rides around on a hot air balloon.
That's right. That balloon, he rode that to a fundraiser last month.
Right. He told donors there the balloon represents all the hot air in Washington and ballooning military spending.
But are stunts like this helping Ron Paul gain new supporters? Take that town hall debate in New Hampshire where he argued his points through a cadre of trained singing cats.
Right.
I mean, I can't even recall what he said the
honestly,
cats stood for.
Honestly, I can't either, but at the end of the night, when the cats jumped one by one into his sack, his supporters gave him
David,
a standing ovation.
I hate to cut you off, but we actually have some breaking news about Congressman Paul coming into the war for the White House bunker right now. Let's go over to Jason Copeland in the Democra Grid, Jason.
Yeah, Andrea, this is really big. Apparently, Ron Paul has emptied the city of Akron of its entire populace.
What happened?
Well, from what we can gather from our sources, after finishing his stump speech earlier today, Paul drove to the edge of town in his jalopy and blew a single ethereal blast on a strange horn of some sort, after which every man, woman, and child started following him out of the city.
Is there
Now, just one second. This is quite dramatic. Take a look at this camera phone footage of that happening. You can hear the crowd complaining about Washington insiders and the high price of gas, and then the video cuts out.
Is there any indication as to where Ron Paul may have taken these people?
Well, you know, the only clue that we have right now is a scroll that he posted on the door of Akron City Hall. It reads, "Seems as though the people of Akron have disappeared into thin air, much like the Federal Reserve's accountability after the dissolution of the gold standard."
You start out with the letter E.
Mm-hmm.
You say E.
Mm-hmm.
That's the E, and then you go, and then you kind of gasp. You put the three together, E, like that. And then you do I. See, yeah, E, I'll do it real slow. E, I, E, E, I, O, O, E, S, E, S, E, S, E, S, E, S, E, S, E,
Our next guest is originally from Danville, Illinois. He enjoys cold beer and hot music. Says that he and his mom don't see eye to eye on his love life. And he claims that his job has cost him several relationships. Please welcome Robert Faggot.
Faggot is rather an odd name.
Yeah, you know, it is an odd name.
That's not even funny.
Put down that iPhone or BlackBerry, look up from your computer screen or video game, stop texting, emailing, chatting online. It turns out that the internet could be driving us crazy.
Chicka chicka woo woo!
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag it, drop it, zip, unzip it, lock it, fill it, curl it, find it, view it, code it, jump and lock it, surf it, scroll it, pose it, click it, cross it, crack it, switch, update it, name it, read it, tune it, print it, scan it, send it, fax, rename it, touch it, ring it, pay it, watch it, turn it, leave it, start format. Technologic, technologic, technologic,
technology.
Tonight at midnight, a computer virus could shut down 250,000 personal computers around the world, part of a giant cyber scam. And so this evening, Matt Gutman on who's at risk and how to protect yourself.
The doomsday drumbeat sounds an awful lot like the Y2K panic. Y2K failed to boot up. But this virus, called simply DNS Changer, already has. Still lurking in 250,000 computers worldwide. In the U.S. alone, at least 50,000 computers will go dark tomorrow if they don't apply a software patch to fix the problem. The world discovered DNS Changer last November when the FBI busted a ring of Estonians whose malicious software infected machines without users knowing it, rerouting them to fake and dangerous sites.
Instead of going to your bank, you go to some website that they control, and they can go capture your password.
The FBI said 4 million computers were infected in 100 countries. You can see the new infections lighting up this map earlier this year. After taking DNS Changer down, the FBI had to put up a backup system to keep people online.
The government, they're trying to be helpful. The interesting thing here is that this was indirect relying on a piece of infrastructure that the bad guys controlled.
It's been up for 8 months, but at midnight tonight, the FBI will pull the plug on that computer life support system, and users will be on their own.
But the fix is simple, David. You can go to dcwg.org, hit the link, it'll diagnose your computer. Ours is clean. If it weren't, we just follow the links here. But the sooner the better, David, because after midnight, you won't be able to access the internet to get to the site at all.
We thought you might want to get every second out of your weekend. And so tonight here we note a time change. It turns out we're not the only ones getting older, moving slower.
Just like us humans, the Earth is getting older. And with age, scientists say our planet is slowing down too. In fact, the time it takes for the Earth to rotate in a full solar day is now about 2 milliseconds longer than it was 100 years ago. Add that up and it's actually slowed down by about 24 seconds, its rotation, since 1972. So to keep the world in sync, international timekeepers add what they call a leap second every few years. And apparently the time has come. So they're adding a second tonight. Who knew we'd have a longer weekend? Enjoy that extra second.
In fact, that leap second added at 8 o'clock, as you saw right there, you don't even have to change your clocks. It's so subtle. Your computer and your cable box will sync up on their own. It was last night here we told you about the leap second that international timekeepers added to the world's clocks, adding a second every few years because the Earth is slowing down in its old age. That 1 second wreaking havoc across the internet last night, crashing these major websites right here. And in Australia, thousands of passengers were stranded by a system meltdown at Qantas Airlines. Some computer logarithms could not handle that one extra second added at 8 o'clock last night.
Surf it, scroll it, pose it, click it, cross it, crack it, switch, update it, name it, read it, tune it, print it, scan it, send it, fax, rename it, touch it, bring it, pay it, watch it, turn it, leave it, stop, format it, buy it, use it, break it, fix it, crash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick, rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, crack it, drop it, zip, unzip it, surf it, scroll it, pose it, click it, cross it, crack it, switch, update it, name it, read it, tune it, print it, scan it, send it, fax, rename it, touch it, bring it, pay it, watch it, turn it, leave it, stop, format it, buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it,
Five towers at the Hymarnham Power Station in Nottinghamshire have been demolished in an impressive controlled explosion. Preparations to bring down the structures have been ongoing since May. The cooling towers finally fell at around 10 a.m. on Sunday, to the delight of locals who had gathered to enjoy the spectacle. The local skyline may have been cleared, but shifting debris from the site is expected to take weeks. The old coal station is being demolished to make way for a new gas power plant.
An early morning raid led to a nighttime protest march tonight, which set Seattle police into lockdown.
King 5's Jim Foreman live at 10 on Capitol Hill with the story of who was marching and why. Jim.
Well, the Pine Street has finally reopened and the police barricades have come down after police and riot gear fortified the East Precinct here as yet another protest took to the streets aimed at the Seattle police.
Innocent people don't got raided. We won't be intimidated.
A group of about 50 members of the Occupy movement, along with other protest groups, converge on the East Precinct on Capitol Hill tonight. The group called for the protest after the SWAT team raided the apartment of some known protest leaders this morning.
I mean, 6 in the morning, someone breaks down your door and throws a flashbang in your house and points an assault rifle at you, and then ransacks your house. And I'm sure they were hoping they would find Molotov cocktails.
Police say the raid was to execute a search warrant looking for those wanted for the May Day violence. In a release, the department said it recovered important evidence. But this group believes the SWAT action went too far.
I don't think that Seattle as a community, they're the sorts of people that would support these sorts of actions rather than using the police. Like, the police took an oath to serve and protect and not to use the force of the law to intimidate activists.
Seattle police say they continue their investigation into the May Day melee, and they are still looking for some suspects. As for the action tonight, it was costly and a big distraction for Seattle police. In the middle of their big crackdown on street violence, a lot of officers had to be called up here to fortify the precinct. They could have been out on patrol elsewhere. And we're told this group is planning another sort of action on Friday. Important thing, though, no arrests, no damage, and the only thing hurled tonight, insults.
With the horses that she ride, and the fear that's left inside, comes a time you need to leave all that behind. Well, they claim they like to go, anyone could let you go, and they gathering around for the last show. Well, there is a reward, the living down by the sword. Well, they try to complicate you, but you left it all behind. All worthy possessions are left for recollection, and finally
police helicopter footage shows rioting which hit Northern Ireland on Thursday after loyalist marches passed through predominantly Catholic areas of Belfast. Several were hurt as rioters set fire to cars before trying to push them towards police barricades, as well as throwing rocks and bricks. There were even reports of gunshots fired from the crowd. Police responded with water cannon. This is the fourth straight year that the Ardoyne district has descended into violence during the marching season. Massive so-called Orange Parades are held across Northern Ireland every July 12th, an official holiday which commemorates a Protestant victory in the 17th century. They're seen as hugely inflammatory by many Catholics, who view the annual marches as a Protestant show of superiority, especially when they pass close to Catholic areas.
and all the hounds. What is lost can still be found when you're walking with your feet on the ground. Well, there are those who choose to run, following the setting sun. And now it's time, it seems, the journey.
Coast Guard bringing the remains of one of two Tornado jet aircraft involved in a collision off the northeast coast of Scotland. A collision that put two RAF servicemen in hospital and has left two others missing. It's believed the two planes collided and crashed into the Moray Firth near RAF Lossiemouth at 2 p.m. on Tuesday. Here's what the station commander had to say soon afterwards.
The thoughts of everyone here are with the families and the friends of those involved. As I'm sure you'll understand, this is an evolving situation, and as such, I'm not prepared to comment at this time on their condition or speculate on the circumstances surrounding the incident.
But more details quickly emerged. Two people were recovered and taken to Rigmore Hospital in Inverness. The air and sea search went on, but failed to find the other two missing aircrew. And on Wednesday morning, the mission turned from a search and rescue one to a recovery operation. The RAF is now conducting an investigation into what caused the collision.
Politics can often become heated, but one Jordanian MP took things a step too far during a TV debate with a regional commentator who accused him of buying his way into Parliament. Sparks weren't the only thing flying as MP Mohamed Shewabka on the right and former MP Mansour Murad traded insults and shoes before Shewabka pulled a snub-nosed revolver on his opponent. The programme's host eventually managed to separate the two men, who continued to scuffle through the credits. Mr. Murad says he has complained to the police over the incident.
With the horses that you ride, and the feelings left inside, comes a time you need to leave all that behind. Well, there is a reward to live and die by the sword. Well,
so there is no cushioning this one. Here you go. Will anyone still believe in God in 50 years? An odd question. Maybe it is, but here's why we're asking it. Today, more people than ever are questioning God's existence. 5 years ago, 83% of people, 83%, under the age of 30, said they never doubted the existence of God. Now that number is down to 68%. So joining me to talk about this is Linda Lascola, who helps preachers openly question their faith, and then David Silverman, who is the president of American Atheists Incorporated. Thank you guys for joining us. You cannot deny the numbers. More people are having doubts now. Could we be looking at a gradual phasing out of God over the next several decades? I'm going to start with you, Ms. Lascola.
Lascola. The question again, please?
Why are we seeing a doubt in the existence of God recently with so many, especially young people now?
Well, I can only speculate. The work I have done is conducting research with clergy who have lost their faith, clergy who no longer believe in the supernatural. And what they tell me, and these are generally older people, at least over 30, what they're telling me is that they really wanted to believe, and they really did believe for many, many years. They dedicated their lives to believing. But at some point, the evidence outweighed their beliefs.
Yeah.
And information is so much more available now through the internet, and I know that's what young people are telling you. They were on the show earlier today on CNN, and there's just a lot of information out there that was not available before. It's really, I think, that simple.
Is this a gradual phasing out, you believe, Mr. Silverman, over the next several decades?
Yes, I do believe we're going to see not so gradual a phasing out of religion over the next several decades. I don't think religion will go away completely, but I do think that in 50 years, those few religious believers left will be pitied, and churches will be paying fair shares of taxes. And I want to underscore what Linda said. It is all about communication, and it is all about the internet, and that's what's causing it. Atheists used to feel like they were the only ones, and that was repeated. It was my own experience. But nowadays, any atheist out there, anybody who doubts, can go onto Facebook or MySpace or LiveJournal or Reddit and find millions of atheists just like them. And they can trade information, they can learn quite a bit, and that is why we're going to see such a dramatic decline in the future.
The young people we had on earlier were echoing the same thoughts that you are. What about the political implications for all of this? I want you to look at that and then answer if you think there are any going to be any. Close to 80% of the U.S. population considers themselves some form of Christian. 16% now say they are unaffiliated. So do you think that we'll be seeing more voters not really caring about the religious beliefs of their candidates, as we have seen so much? We hear, you know, so much, Ms. Lascola, about the evangelical vote and this vote and Mr. Romney being a Mormon and whether or not the president is a Muslim and all of that. Do you think that will matter to people eventually?
Well, once again, speaking from the research I've conducted with clergy, what I've noticed among them politically is that wherever they start out, as they lose their supernatural beliefs, they become more liberal. If they're conservative, they become more liberal. If they're already liberal, they stay liberal. They don't go the other way. Losing supernatural beliefs results, from what I've seen with the clergy that I've worked with, in becoming more liberal.
Mm-hmm. I want to play something for you from Stephen Prothero at the University, Boston University. Take a listen.
Well, two-thirds are saying they never, even in their entire lives, have ever doubted the existence of God. I think most of the church people I know have some mixture of faith and doubt. So I don't really see evidence here of the fact that religion is going away. It seems that religion is perhaps changing a little bit, but, you know, only about 3% of millennials, people under 30, say that they're atheists. So I don't see a lot of evidence here for a kind of secularization problem in America.
So he says there are still plenty of people who have never questioned God's existence, and the number of atheists is low. So just because you question God's existence, it doesn't necessarily mean that you don't believe, Mr. Silverman.
No, it doesn't, but it doesn't also necessarily mean that you do believe to say you're a Christian. A lot of people out there are cultural Christians, cultural Jews, and they tick the Christian box just because their parents raised them as Christians, even though they don't believe in the man in the sky. And I want to go back to your other question that you made to Linda about the politicians. I think as we get grow as a nation, the atheists are going to be looking at the political candidates, and they're going to be looking at their religious beliefs with a very concerned eye. Because if you believe in a man in the sky without any evidence, if you believe your underwear is magic, what else will you believe, and are you qualified to run this country if you are?
There are known knowns. There are things we know we know. We also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things we do not know. But there are also unknown unknowns. The ones we don't know, we don't know.
Hey, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana. Daylight come and me won't go home. Me say day, oh. Daylight come and me won't go home.
Man eventually came to recognize the sun as the representation of the power and the ability of the hidden God of the universe, the invisible God of the universe, the all-powerful creator of everything. But man, as he gained his intellectual ability, began to look toward himself, toward the intellect, as that God and the sun, the representation of what used to be the invisible God of the universe, then became the representation of the intellect, the light, Lucifer. And man began to worship the Luciferian philosophy. He believed, these people who call themselves the guardians of the secrets of the ages, and still believe, that man was held prisoner in the Garden of Eden by an unjust, vindictive, and very cruel God, the God of the Bible, and that he was set free from the bonds of ignorance through the gift of intellect given to him by Lucifer through his agent, Satan. Now, many people believe that Lucifer and Satan are the same individual entity, and they may be. I don't know the answer to that. I just know what the mystery schools believe, and I know what I personally believe, and what I personally believe doesn't have any bearing on anything. Knowledge, the truth, is what counts. And that's what we're trying to get to the bottom of here.
Life is a continuous confrontation with forks in the road. One is good, one is bad. And you could always wander completely off the road altogether and become lost, totally and completely lost. If you take the wrong fork at one of these junctions, there is always the opportunity at the next fork to get back on track. But it is a constant battle within ourselves. You see, I have studied this concept for many, many years, and I have to tell you that if there is a real devil, like Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. Now, I'm not telling you that there's no such thing as Satan or Lucifer. I'm telling you this. If there really is a devil, that devil exists in the hearts and minds of men and nowhere else. Nowhere else. For if you take man out of the equation, evil ceases to exist, and there is left only the laws of the universe and the balance of nature. Put man in the equation, and before long, evil will rear its ugly head and present itself to the world. The evil is within man, and that is why it was called the fall. The devil never made anyone do it. If you do it, you did it yourself because you fell into temptation. Isn't it amazing? How, when all of it is placed in perspective, it's so much easier to understand. You will either go away from tonight's broadcast with a greater understanding of an awful lot, or you will become so incensed and so angry because I have identified some of the very traits in you which you tend to deny and cannot and will not confront. and you will set out to prove me wrong, and in doing so, you will see that I am right and you will become an ally, eventually, when you have learned to deal with your own sheepleness. For until man once again confronts the real nature of his own condition and of the world around him and accepts full responsibility for his actions without blaming anyone else or any devil, until then we will always be a puppet on the end of someone else's string. And ladies and gentlemen, when that someone pulls that string, we will dance. If you're a Christian, you know that the great deceiver, the great liar, the great manipulator, is called Satan. If you want to know where Satan resides, if you want to know who he is, look around and see who is telling you all the lies. It's as simple as that. Who's lying to you, entrapping you, deceiving you, manipulating you, entrapping you? Wrapping the coils of the serpent around you.
They believe in a pantheistic order of the universe, where everything is connected and everything is God. And since man is the only creature that can think and reason, the collective mind of man is the mind of God. Ergo, man is God. That's what they believe. That is the Luciferian philosophy.
Do you like being a participant in the watering can of the flowers of freedom throughout the world?
We ain't got to take our clothes off yet. We could burn an instant and just chat, relax. I got the good vibration. Before we make love, let's have a good conversation. Pardon me, love, but you seem like my type. What you doing tonight? You should stop by the site. We could roll some, play some records and talk. I got a fly spot downtown Brooklyn, New York. Now I know you think I wanna be there, no doubt. But tonight we try a different route. How about we start with a salad, a fresh bed of lettuce with croutons. Later we could play a game of chess on the futon. See, I ain't got to get in your blouse. It's your eye contact that be getting me aroused. When you show me your mind and make me wanna show you mine. Reflecting my light when it shines. Just taking our time before the night's through. We could get physical too. I ain't trying to say I don't wanna taste, cause I do, but for me, boo, making love is just as much mental. I like to know what I'm getting into. See, we could have mindset. We ain't got to take our clothes off yet. We could burn an incense and just chat, relax. I got the good vibrations. Before we make love, let's have a good conversation.
African princess, tell me your interests. Wait, let me guess, boo, you probably like poetry. Here's a little something I jotted down in case I spotted you around. So let me take this opportunity. Would you share a moment with me over herbal tea? Take a walk verbally, make a bond certainly. Cause in my hand, I bet your hand fit perfectly. And it's like we floating out in space when you flirting with me. Come on, a little foreplay don't hurt. Imagine my chest under this shirt, that thing under that skirt is like walking the hot sands and finding an oasis. Opposites attract, that's the basis. Sex is like the wind that separates the yin from the yang. The balance that means complete change. My aim is to touch you in a delicate spot. And once we get it started, I ain't trying to stop. But first we have mindsets.
We ain't got to take our clothes off yet. We could burn an incense and just chat, relax. I got the good vibrations. Before we make love, let's have a good conversation. Mindsets.
She smiles, I smile. She walks, no, she glides softly by me, changing night into day. She opens her mouth to speak, and soul sounds ring in my head. She speaks, and I want to dance to her rhythm. She moves ever so gently, increasing my desires. Desires to place my arms around her waist and hold and squeeze her to me. I want to melt into her body and discover the base.
Now, go find the others.com.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.